The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Every time I walk by, Mr. Goodbar, he calls me, you know, and says, Andy, come eat me.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Andy Reid will be at the podium about 11:50 or so, followed by Patrick Mahomes, Dave Tobe, Steve Spagnuolo, Eric Bieniemy, and then L'Jarius Sneed and Jerick McKinnon. Getting ready for the Bengals. We'll see how that ankle feels. Also, you know, what's the latest with Mecole Hardman? He was limited yesterday, so when Andy Reid talks here in just a little bit, probably get an update on what he thinks about Mecole Hardman, if there's a chance he can go this weekend or not. And look, hopefully he can go this weekend. That'd be great. You throw in Mecole Hardman and Kadarius Toney and Joe Tooney from the previous matchup. That is massive. You are adding three players to the Chiefs offense while subtracting three players from the Bengals offense, but adding one, because they didn't have Joe Mixon in that game. So should point out that Joe Mixon will be playing in this one as well. I don't find it to be as big of a deal because, as we said that week, I think Samaje Perine is a bigger threat than Joe Mixon, and I still feel that way because the Chiefs have been able to slow down the run. I know that they were able to do that against the Bills, but it's just been killer when Burrow has been pressured and has been able to just dump it off at the last second to Samaje Perine, who then picks up a first down after getting that late outlet. He's more crucial to me what they do in a passing game than Joe Mixon. Is Perine in the passing game and pass protection as opposed to Joe Mixon. He's a better pass protector and also pretty good receiving it as well. Another good receiver for the Chiefs, Sky Moore. We are giving away an autographed football from Sky Moore, Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. Go there, and you can see all the details, how you enter to get this autographed football signed by Sky Moore. Follow the 810 Facebook page. Like the post. You get a bonus entry by tagging a friend in the comments. Contest will end Sunday at 5:30, so Sunday a kickoff. Facebook.com/SportsRadio810, a Sky Moore autographed football. Last week, we gave away a Creed Humphrey jersey. Now with Sky Football.
Think Creed had a pretty good game against the Jags.
He did.
Didn't notice any real mistakes there. Sky Moore game?
Could be. Could be a Sky Moore game. Although, I think the fact that Kadarius Toney will be playing that position and will be the motion man, whereas Sky Moore was the motion man against the Bengals.
The Chiefs have really done a heck of a job this year putting Sky Moore in places where nobody asked to see him.
Punt return. Maybe
not
somebody else.
What I wanted.
All right, guys are injured. Sky, now you're going to be, instead of like the
you're
slot
reserve, motion man.
You're going to be the guy that goes in motion.
The jet,
you know,
sweep guy. What?
The Tyreek Hill, the Mecole Hardman, the Kadarius Toney. It's going to be you, Sky, which, you know, hey, he had a handoff in that game, which he gained like 14 yards. Coming in motion, takes a snap, hands it to him while he's on that sweep, whatever you want to call it, and picks up like 14 yards. So there you go. Still used it. But I think that was the only one.
I would be buying Sky Moore stock right now because I'm guessing it's a lower value than it's been in a while.
Yeah.
And I do think next year he's going to have a real legitimate role in this offense.
Agreed.
You could almost literally buy stock in Sky Moore if you win this football on the 810 Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
Okay. So there you go.
You think Andy Reid's going to be excited to see people today? Three days in a row, right?
I mean,
2 days in a row.
Maybe. Was it last Thursday? He was in a really good mood.
He's been in a good mood in the bigger room there. A lot of cameras out, you know. It's not just all, you know, Lebo and Teicher and Matt Derrick out there. He's seeing some of the real stars.
Did you hear about the little interaction there at the media room with James Palmer?
No.
And James Palmer's producer and Todd Lebo?
Oh, no.
That.
Oh, no, I didn't know about this.
James Palmer was getting ready to go live there in the room, and his producer was there and says like 45 to James Palmer. He's getting ready to go live, and Lebo's talking to us, you know, mm-hmm. down the line or whatever, and having a conversation, and apparently this guy like is looking towards the direction of, like Stephen was telling the story, he's like, he started looking at me, he's like, I ain't having it, I'm not making eye contact with him, and he's like, and then he starts looking at Paige and like telling Paige, like doing an alligator symbol with your hands, like shut him up. because Lebo was talking, you know, shut him. We're about to go live. You know, this guy's talking and Lebo was just ignoring him because I'm so glad that and Lebo knew that he was talking about, and but just kept ignoring him. And then Lebo, as he gets closer to 45, ends his talking. James Palmer does his hit, and Lebo lets him know, yeah, I've been in TV, man. I know what 45 seconds is.
Yeah, Lebo's been here before. Not his first rodeo.
Yeah, I've been into, yeah, how about this? Go bleep yourself.
I don't
Everybody's,
think.
Here's the thing,
I haven't
also.
Heard, this is the first time I'm hearing the story. I bet Lebo didn't say go bleep yourself.
He did not, but I don't think he was happy. And here's the thing. You got all the people working in there. That guy, you want everybody else to shut up while you do your particular. Lebo can't do his hit from there? He can't talk on the radio to people? No. James Palmer's going to do. You shut your mouth.
If Lebo had James Palmer's hair, I
that's
mean,
a good point. Well, look. If he had any hair, I mean, it's just. It's,
especially James's,
maybe,
though.
Maybe it's Samson. You know, strength is in his hair. Lebo's strength is in just his general view on life.
That's right.
General way of going about life.
Lebo's hair is actually his Samson power. Is that if he right. grew hair, he would actually lose it. He's an inverse Samson.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, we'll hear from Andy Reid here in a little bit.
Looking forward to a story from Mick Schaefer. Tomorrow.
I saw there was a lot of texts, and I couldn't keep up with what was happening, but I saw that...
It's an update to a story from a couple of years ago with Mick Schaefer.
Because I have no recollection of what's going on in this.
And a national reporter.
I also remember that story, so I know that there was... I knew there was some details there, but...
Looking forward to that update tomorrow there with Mick Schaefer at Arrowhead Stadium.
Have we confirmed we're getting Mick tomorrow? Is Mick going to be here tomorrow?
It's a great point.
I'll double check on
it's
that.
A fast Friday, but there's a lot of press conferences going on, so maybe there is no Mick tomorrow.
You know, double check.
Little text.
Shoot a little text out for Mick.
Maybe a little email. Maybe a little correspondence. Maybe even a phone call.
Gonna write him a letter.
Good. Do that. Courier?
Yeah, we got a pigeon.
Drop it in the Postal Service. They'll take care of it. All right, so we're here from Andy Reid.
The pigeon?
Yes.
Put the pigeon in the mail thing?
Yeah, and then the mail carrier picks up the pigeon and then delivers the pigeon. Pigeon then delivers the little scroll. You think the pigeon's going to know where it's going now? We haven't trained pigeons anymore. It's not.
That's a good point,
man. Renaissance times.
That's a great point, dude. If you just grab a pigeon out of the sky, it's not going to. Oh, you want me to go to Derek's house?
These are these are not housebroken pigeons. These are just wild on their own, just doing whatever they want. Pigeons. These pigeons have been in the wild. They are not trained.
I just caught this pigeon. I put a post-it note on its wing, and I said, "Go to Jeremy's."
Here's Andy Reid.
Again, we look forward to the challenge of playing Cincinnati. It's all yours.
Coach, Patrick was a full participant yesterday. How did he look for you?
Yeah, he did a nice job. Yeah, felt good today, so did the walkthrough. He's on track. Yeah.
How much does his mobility, how much of that is built into your play designs? Scheming, how much does that require you to maybe rewrite script?
Yeah, well, you're projecting a little bit just to see where it'll be, but for the most part, we're doing the same things, the way we normally do.
You sense a feeling from the defensive side of the ball that there's a, not that they don't have a job to do every week, right, but that, hey, maybe Pat's not going to be all he can be, and so... This is their time to shine, and maybe they need
it
even more.
Yeah, Sharon, I thought in the game, if that's any indicator, right? In the last game, I thought everybody picked their game up, did a nice job with that, and so the guys aren't, they don't talk about that, but I mean, I think it was impressive to see everybody lift their game up and do that. So I'd imagine the same things happen.
There have actually been studies done that, just research and team performances. One game, there is that lift, like what you just said you saw. Maybe there's kind of a letdown that comes. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've got to...
Yeah, well, hopefully that doesn't happen.
Andy, with the unique challenges that Cincinnati presents on the defensive end, especially how Patrick Mahomes said, how they like to have game plan specific, how much of a challenge is that for you, going into something where you might have plenty more unscouted looks than you normally have?
By their defense is what you're saying. Yeah. So we anticipate that. They have
pretty healthy amount of defensive things that they've done throughout the year. And I'm sure they'll have a wrinkle here or there for us coming into this one. So, but we've got, you know, we've got things within the game plan to be able to adjust to things. And if we have to draw up a new one, we'll draw up a new one. But, you know, whatever we have to do to get the job done.
Coach, how old do you know Coach Taylor, Zach Taylor?
I don't. I know his wife better than I do him. His wife is Mike Sherman's daughter, and Mike Sherman and I are friends, work together at Green Bay. So I remember when she was just a little shooter. I don't know him that well. Yeah.
Coach, you mentioned yesterday about Patrick wanting to do everything at practice, and you maybe being the one to have to pull him back a little bit. Did you find yourself doing that at all yesterday?
I didn't, no. No, he did. He did a nice job. Seemed to be comfortable with what we did. So, yeah.
And what would you like to see out of it today?
Yeah, just continue to work at the, not just at the ankle, but at the game plan. Just work within the game plan and do what he needs to do there. So,
Coach, we'll get Legarius in a couple moments here. You know, as we enter this AFC title game, how has he grown these past couple of years?
Yeah, so we knew he was a good player coming out, really felt that. And Spags got to know him beforehand and really felt he could fit into his scheme well. And then we've just seen him grow. The toughest spot in there is that nickel spot where you don't have that sideline to help protect you a little bit there. And he took that, and then he added this year to where he's back out at the corner playing corner, still can play some nickel or dime for you. Very well-rounded. So you've seen him grow in just knowing the scheme and really all the positions within it.
Andy, the lower half, the feet, the footwork is so important for quarterbacks, and Pat works on it all the time. But is his arm talent maybe helpful when he's dealing with something on the lower half because he's so talented?
I would tell you yes, but his feet are doing okay right now. So he still can move them. So he's not just throwing, you know, with all arm. But he's got it good enough. I mean, you see him do it even when there's no ankle issue. So he'll throw some balls where he's flat-footed.
Yeah. Cole Hardman, how do you look yesterday? And are you optimistic he'll be up on it?
Yeah, I'm going to just take it day by day and see. He's busting his tail. And his want is, I mean, he wants to be in there going, but I think it's important that we just keep him coming. And so he did that yesterday, and we'll just see how it rolls. But he wants to be in there going. I know that.
Coach, when you say his want, is he like in your office every other minute, or is he coming up and talking to you every?
No, but I talk to him, you know, on the field. And you can see just his desire to do well.
Andy, the way that we're asking you for all these updates on Patrick, are you doing the same thing with your training staff with him? Or are you sort of being here like in the morning to see how it responded?
Yeah, you know what? I see Patrick so much during the day. I talk to him, and then I have my normal meetings with Rick, and he tells me. And the best thing I get from it is either from Pat, but most of all what he's doing playing. You can see, yeah, that's where you see it. So he's doing well. He's doing well in rehab. He did well on the field.
Last one, Nate. And what do you think Walker Hill and Justin Reed gained in the first matchup? How do you feel like their improvement? Maybe since that game will better serve?
Yeah, well, they've got great wide receivers and tight ends. So they'll try to stress the middle of the field with those guys, I think that seeing that, like they've seen the last couple, you know, in Justin's case, the last time, will help him. Yeah, sure. And you know, they've got good talent there. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good.
All right, there you go. They'll try to stress the middle of the field, Andy Reid says, with Juan Thornhill and Justin Reed and them playing previous game unscouted looks. Then anticipate that. Patrick did a nice job yesterday, felt good, did the walkthrough. He's on track. McColl, day by day, his want is there. We'll see if the health is there. Asked about Patrick Mahomes, is he just throwing with all arm? Says that his feet are doing okay. He's not throwing all arm. Although if he needs to, he can do that. So that's always something to keep in mind. And they did not, Andy Reid did not have a feel of needing to pull him back yesterday or have him back off, that he was doing just fine and did a nice job. So all of those certainly encouraging for this weekend. And if you're just joining us, the Chiefs this morning moved to the one-point favorites in this game from a point and a half to one-point favorites with Patrick Mahomes.
I had a good day yesterday. Obviously, it's things you had to work through here and there. But overall, probably better than I expected, being able to go out there and throw the football around and get the reps in that I needed to get in.
One other thing. Tom Brady said something like he talked to you and gave you words of inspiration. Have you been hearing from people around the league telling you, you know, they were inspired by your grit in the last game and kind of, I don't know, giving you the speech to go forward?
Yeah, a couple guys, man, have for sure. But, yeah, I talked to Tom a little bit, and, I mean, I have a good relationship with him now, and he gives me a lot of advice. Yeah, seriously, he gives me some advice to help me. I mean, why would you not want to learn from the GOAT, man? So anytime anybody like that wants to give me advice, I'll take it in. And it's cool to see the guys that you've watched growing up your whole life be able to talk to you on that type of platform.
Patrick, we know you're dealing with your own situation, but to be around the guys and see that just maybe everybody on offense can be by, how much does that give you confidence in how much that you've been up against the GOAT someday?
Yeah, I mean, it's excitement, man. When you start the season, you want everybody in the playoffs. You want guys to be there and to enjoy that moment, because when you work throughout the year, it can become a grind. And, I mean, we're all professionals, and we're all playing the sport that we love, but the playoffs is what we really are playing for. And so to get as many guys back as possible and to get healthy as we can, I mean, it gives us the best chance to go out there and do whatever we can to find a way to get a win.
Patrick, what are your tools? Are these accurate throws that you're able to do on the run? As you were testing it yesterday, how good do you feel about potentially being still able to do that type of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel like I can still do a lot of things, but it's gonna. We'll see as we get closer and closer, and we'll see during the game. I mean, you can't fully do exactly what you're going to be in those moments in the game, but all I can do is prepare myself the best way possible, and then when we get in the game, you hope adrenaline kind of takes over, and you can make those throws when you need to.
Is there a way to gauge like how much you're willing to, I don't know if cut loose is the right word, but how much yesterday you felt like just do what you normally do versus I got to watch it?
Yeah, you try to go as far as you can and do exactly what you normally do on a normal Wednesday practice. Luckily, Wednesday isn't the hardest practice of the week, so you kind of get through the motions and you're able to do some stuff and move here and there. Today will be another test. It's a little bit harder practice, a little bit more speed. But like I said, you're not going to be able to prepare yourself 100% for the game, but you can do the best you can of putting yourself in those positions, and then hopefully by the end of the week you're in an even a better spot that you can go out there and do what you need to do to win.
Patrick, with Bobby, over the years when you worked out with him, you know, how does he help you for these situations where you're able to get back from such a high ankle strain and be able to perform at the level you're being able to perform in practice so far?
Yeah, I have a lot of good people around me everywhere. I mean, if you talk about the training staff here, you talk about the weight staff here, and then you talk about Bobby. I mean, we do a lot of things to kind of preventative stuff, and you can't prevent all injuries, but you can prepare your body the best way possible so that whenever stuff like this last game happens, you're able to bounce back quickly. And so we've done a lot of ankle and knee and foot stuff, especially after my last few injuries I've had. And I think that's prepared me to bounce back quickly here and be able to be in a good spot that hopefully I'm able to go out there and give 100% during the game.
Patrick, I know you spend a lot of time, a lot of young people. You're on your phone, you're very aware of what's going on and everything. You have to, at some point, come across some of the conversation that's coming from Cincinnati. Is that something, what do? Do you try to block it out? Do you use it as energy, as fuel? What do you do with those things?
Yeah, I think different guys use it different ways. I just try to go out there and prepare myself to play my best football. I mean, if you're not fired up to play a team that's beat you three times in a row in the AFC Championship game, then you're not going to be fired up for any game. So I'm excited to play up against a great football team and try to do my best effort to go out there and get a win.
On that same front, I'm sure you've probably seen people are examining every step you take and the little bit of video out there.
Are you aware of that? And what do you think of everyone, social media doctors trying to diagnose what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, no one knows unless they get to actually put their hands on it and see it. But all I can do is just prepare my body the best way possible. I mean, I've seen the videos and everything like that of me walking. I don't know what you can really get from me walking. I think people will see on Sunday where I'm at, and I'll see on Sunday where I'm at. I'm just going to prepare my body the best way during the week to be in the best position possible.
Patrick, obviously you don't get a chance to.
Have you felt better as you've gone through this each day?
Yeah, it's kind of throughout the day you have highs and lows, I guess you would say. I mean, you get yourself ready to go for practice. You practice hard as you can, and then after you're obviously a little bit sore than you were before, you work on it and do your treatment and stuff after to get in the best shape for whenever you go to sleep, and you wake up and do it all over again. So I think progressively I've gotten better throughout the week, and I'm just going to try to keep doing that, keep that same mentality, and push it, but then at the same time be ready to go whenever the game comes up.
Patrick, I know, you know, for what happened Sunday, going into this week's game, how much conversation have you had with your linemen or the coaches have had with your offensive line, letting them know whatever happens, don't let Pat get touched?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have that mindset every game. I mean, it's a great challenge for them. I mean, not only me having this injury and everything that comes with that, but at the same time, they're playing against a great defense. For them, I know they're excited for the challenge, go up against a great football team and a great defense. And I'll do whatever I can to help them out as much as I can, and do whatever I can to help our team out have success.
We'll take four more.
Okay. Go ahead, Nate. Yesterday's practice and even today, how much do you feel like you have to give an input to Andy and Eric about how you feel comfortable with these type of plays versus this type of look, or do you just want the coaches just to deal with the game?
I mean, I always do it in a sense, but obviously this week will be a little bit different. I'll give a feel for how I feel about each and every play. If it's a play I think we can utilize, or if it's a play that I think maybe it might not put me in the best position, I'll let them know that. And so you do that in every game plan, but obviously this week's a little bit more important to let those guys know what I'm comfortable with. But it's hard when they have those great plays up there. Sometimes you want to make sure you can get those plays ran, especially when you're playing a great team.
Sam.
Yeah, you get here pretty early, and you do some treatment, and then you kind of go to your meetings. You come back, and I have a lot of media this week, so knocking the media out, then do some rehab and stuff like that to prepare yourself for practice. Get treatment after practice after you're watching film and stuff like that, and then you do a little bit more rehab, and you go home. You get in all the different – they have like 8,000 different devices you can use before you go to sleep, and you wake up and do it all over again. So, I mean, it's a full day schedule, so I try to just make sure that I can prepare my body the best way possible, and Brittany's taking that mom role even to a higher level this week. I haven't been home a ton.
James.
Patrick, you've talked a lot about kind of how things change each and every – maybe you play with the defense you're going against, and you guys have a really good dialogue with coaching staff. What is that process like through a game as you're seeing things and they're seeing things and you're going to try to make those, you know, in-game adjustments as it happens and find different spots on the call sheet?
Yeah, it'll be a great challenge this week because I mean they change coverages a lot. They never seem like you can get a real good feel for what they're in. They like to just keep throwing different pitches at you, and that's what makes them such a great team, and that's what's going to make it such a great game. Is we have a lot of great offensive minds, and on our side on offense, and we're going to try to throw different pitches at them, and they'll do the same to us and all their defensive coaches and defensive players that they have, and so it becomes a great matchup between two great teams, and that's what you want in the AFC Championship.
Patrick,
you know, I know last year the big thing was the shell defenses and trying to take away the deep stuff from you and make you guys work a little harder going down the field and, you know, kind of evolve that way, number one offense again, doing that. Is it a tough thing? I mean, you've said you always want to hit that home run. That's always your mindset. But you have had to maybe be a little bit more disciplined. Was there a moment where you felt like it was clicking in and it was easier, more comfortable for you to make those decisions to take what they're giving you?
Yeah, I think it started early in training camp, just kind of figuring out the best way to execute the offense with the new set of guys that we have. And I've got a lot of different coverages this year. I've had to adapt kind of on the fly and make more and more progressions as a quarterback, and I'll continue to do that. So like you said, when they're in their deep coverages, I have to continue to hit the checkdowns, continue to hit the underneath stuff. But when they give us opportunities, I have to be able to hit those as well. And so that's what makes this game so great. You can never be stagnant with where you're at. You have to continue to evolve both ways.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. Thank you.
You know, we talk about what's given to them, take what's given underneath, and not a lot of talk about over the top and what happened in that game with the Bills and Bengals, that Josh Allen missed two guys down the field and Gabriel Davis dropped one down the sideline. Those were three possessions in which they put up 0 points on those three possessions. And Josh Allen, just two misses. Gabriel Davis, just a drop down the sideline. Like, it looked like whoever the cornerback was, I think maybe Taylor Britt, got over there, maybe got a hand on it. But then you watched it in slow-mo, and he didn't touch the ball. It just went right through the arms of Davis. You got to make those plays if you're the Chiefs. So, yeah, take what's given to you, but when you get opportunities, hit those. Because Josh Allen did not, and the Bills did not. And if they did, especially early in the game, does it change? I don't know. Here's Dave Toe.
Never. Okay, fire away. Go ahead.
The last three times that you guys have faced them, it's all come down to 3 points. Obviously, special teams is going to be a huge part of that. Are you guys putting any more emphasis on the detail-oriented practices you're already having?
No more than we always do, because every game is so important. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, these games, and particularly this team, you know, it's always a closed game. And, you know, we're practicing hard. The guys' attention to detail has been outstanding so far this week. You know, we got a lot more work to do, but still, it's been pretty awesome.
How has Tommy been able to elevate his game?
The thing we talked about Tommy coming into the season was him being more consistent, and I think he's proven that. You know, he's game in and game out, he's been great. You know, and he's banging that ball high for us so we can get down there and cover. And you know, he's been consistent. Now, and as far as his punting goes, awesome. So, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing, biggest difference.
Coach, what do you lose with Lamont's and being claimed by another team?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, Veach had a plan. You know, he had a plan. You know, he always has a plan. He's a smart guy. It just didn't work out, I guess, you know, unfortunately for Lammons, you know, because now he's not going to be able to play. It's just the way it goes. You know, obviously he was a good player for us and, you know, for 3 years, did a lot for us, and I want to thank him for that. I'm going to miss him, you know, no question. But, you know, the future's still good for him.
Coach, you had a couple of kick returns from Jacksonville that got some distance there. Was that the plan? Was it to try to kick it short and get the return?
No. That was not the plan, to kick it short. We were trying to kick. Agnew, we respect him a lot. You know, I talked about that going into the game. I felt like he was one of the best, if not the best, you know, kick returner, you know, in the league. And, you know, our plan was to try to kick touchbacks every time, you know, but unfortunately it doesn't always happen. You know, if you try to kick touchbacks, sometimes if you mishit it slightly, you get a line drive kick. That happened a couple times in that game, and they made us pay for it.
Go ahead. I apologize. The weather, obviously, colder temperature.
Yeah, sure. The ball doesn't fly as much, you know, as well, you know, in the cold weather, which we're going to have to deal with again. So we may have to come with a different plan, maybe, you know, sky kick or short bloops or squibs or something to, you know, to try to change up the game a little bit as far as field position goes.
It's a little cold. It's going to be really cold Sunday. Saturday was a little moist too, right?
Yeah.
That affects some of those kickoffs as well. I don't think there's supposed to be much precipitation now. Is that a bit of a help on those if you want to go deep?
Really, the cold weather kind of will. I mean, it's so cold. I think it's going to be a lot colder Sunday than it was last Saturday. So I think that'll even it up a little bit. We'll have to deal with it.
How do you characterize their return teams, especially? Are they in the upper echelon category?
Yeah, they are. They're very good, very well coached. I mean, when you watch them, the small details that they, you know, that Darren Simmons has got them doing, it's impressive. You know, and they've been together for a while. They're an experienced group, you know, and they make you pay if you're not careful.
Coach,
yeah, we're continuing to work on it all the time in practice, and the guys are getting antsy. They want them, you know, 19 both and 10. You know, they both feel like they can break one, and we see it. We see it on tape how close we are. We just got to keep plugging away and, you know, be patient. You know, you can't force it, you know, because if you start forcing it, then bad things happen. So, you know, we want to keep pounding the rock there, and eventually we'll get one.
Coach, you mentioned it coming in. How excited is the staff? Coach Reed is so focused, we don't know what he's thinking. But how excited are you guys as a staff to be at this spot?
I mean, you know, you think about it a little bit, but really it's going to really settle in when you're done, when you're totally done. You realize that you went to five. I mean, we had five conference AFC conference championships at our place in a row. I mean, it's just amazing. But, you know, you really don't have time to dwell on that. I mean, besides when you guys ask us. But, you know, it's special. It really is.
Dave, you mentioned Kadarius. I wonder if you could just describe how distinct his skill set is and what it is he can do that gives you faith that, you know,
I think the thing that kind of goes, I mean, it's being noticed now is that how strong he is. I mean, he, and guys get a hold of him, they get a grip on him, and he can run through tackles, and he's tough, and he's a tough runner. So I know when he gets a chance, when he gets a breakaway run, you know, on a punt return, he's going to make somebody pay, you know, and I just feel like it's coming.
And the way he kind of is a take your breath away guy with the way he moves, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a great feel, you know, he's got great vision, you know, obviously strong, like you mentioned, but, you know, and his speed is, you know, it's an elite speed.
As a team, you guys are so good at stealing points right before the half, right? Quick drives and getting down the field. Getting even three maybe before the half can be so important come
sure.
Sunday. What's kind of your role, and how does that go through the week when, you know, you see there's only a handful of seconds left and that can get you guys?
Yeah, you know the situations. We knew the situation then, too. We just made a mistake last year. I know that was the thing that happened last year. We, you know, we were in field goal range, obviously, and, you know, we tried to get one more play. You know, and sometimes you push it a little bit too much or you make a mistake and then you mess yourself up there. But, you know, we are always prepared, you know, for those situations. I mean, Pat, he doesn't need a lot of time to be able to get us in field goal range. And then Bucker, you know, he can do what he does. And we're always thinking at least 3 points. I mean, we're always thinking that. And I stand next to Andy. We communicate. And, you know, so that's being done at all times.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, there's Dave Tobe. Was not the plan to kick short to Agnew, and just one of those things to where you may want the touchback. They wanted it every time, but when you mishit it, it can end up being a line drive. I think it was Mark Boerichter that said that when he was out at the game and he saw that it was a line drive and it ended up short, he's like, I don't think the kicking short to Agnew was the plan. It just may have been a mishit, because if you're going to kick it short, it's not going to be a line drive. It's going to be really high, and you're going to allow your coverage unit to get down there to make a play. This was just a line drive. Here's Spags.
Seeing you all. Hopefully you're doing it again next week. With that, I'll just open it up. We just got done with a walkthrough practice yesterday. We're up and rolling and excited to play in the game.
Coach, with the last three times that you've played, what is the coaching staff, what have you all taken away from those losses that you hope to turn around?
Yeah, that we need to do a lot better. You know, the one thing that stuck out, and because it's a team game, I put up a sheet the other day of the drives that they had against us the last time we played them, and they're 9 and they're 10 play and they're 11 play, and that means that our quarterback doesn't have the football. And so somehow, some way, we got to make sure the drives are shorter and we can get the ball back. So I'm talking about, you know, time of possessions, right? That's got to change, and it all begins with the run game. We've talked a lot about that. These guys are great at throwing the football, but we're going to respect the run game and make sure we don't neglect it.
And I know it's easier said than done, but the other thing we've talked about is getting after Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Chris Jones and Frank Clark, and those games against the Bengals, they haven't been able to bring them down. What?
Yeah. It's been the finishing part of it, right? We've talked a lot about that. Certain schemes we have for certain pass rushes, we're going to try to do it all. This guy's elite at everything that he does. It's not just throwing the football. It's throwing it to the right spots. It's making the right decisions. It's getting out of trouble when he's rushed by some good pass rushers. You got to find a way to be a little bit under control, because he's nifty. What you're saying is exactly true.
You said the finishing part. I mean, is it with him and your guy as well? I mean, I'll bet you a lot of defensive coordinators say the same thing about Patrick.
Yeah.
They're there, they're getting hands on him, and he's still able to deliver the football. I mean, is that kind of just the mark of the great ones? They unload early, they'll take it to the
point. When you watch him, he just is the word I come up is nifty. He never panics in the pocket. It feels like he's got like 6 eyeballs around his head, right? No, seriously. You know, we watched him last night. Joe and I were watching him, and there's a rusher coming in, looks like he's going to get him, and Joe didn't do very much, but he made a move, never lost balance, took a couple of steps, threw the ball downfield. Yeah, he's elite. You got to be more under control is the only thing I could say. We've worked on that. And yet, if you try to rush control too much, you never get there, right? But it's both ways. We got to cover really good on the back end to give our pass rushers time, and then we got to find a way to finish them. Getting more guys there, I mean, you want to get as many guys as you can, right? It's hard for one guy.
You compared Joe to a young Tom Brady in the past, and you're one of the guys who, in a big spot, been able to rally.
Yeah.
How much do you turn to some of that stuff as you look toward this matchup?
Yeah, I do think he's elite like that. It's been a while, but it feels like Joe has more weapons. And I know Tom had a lot of weapons at certain times when he was there in New England. You know, it's hard to compare a quarterback to the best there ever was, but he certainly looks like he's on his way to that. We got so much respect for this quarterback and what he does, and we're going to try to find a way to slow him down if we can. Yeah. Yeah, usually it's, you know, can you attack a protection and get somebody free? That's what we're always trying to do. And if you can do that, you can throw the timing off. If you can't do that or they're going to get it blocked up, then you got to be able to cover a little bit. And we know what they have on the outside. So like we've always done with every team, we'll pick our spots. I don't think we're going to go completely away from it. But we got to be careful because we know what he and his three running mates can do if they do protect it. And they have found ways to protect it. He'll see it, get guys in there, and we got to understand that.
And you say that because when you look at Ja'Marr Chase, and I know he's been someone that's caused you all problems, somehow, some way, they find a way to get him open where he seems to be wide open, you know, against your play calling. Have you all figured out, looked at on tape, and do you still plan on going, I guess, you know, man up against him with Legarius, or do you plan on?
I'm not going down the scheme thing here. I'm not doing that. We're going to mix it up. Yeah, it was later in the game, right? Just something that we typically do, and the guys executed it well. I mean, there are times we've run those or called them. We don't execute them quite as well, or they turn protection and get it picked up. At that particular time, we got it, and they got the quarterback off timing, threw it up, and we got a pick. It was a nice play by Jalen. Really was.
Coach, just a question about you compared Burrow a little bit to Brady, but how do you compare him to Patrick? I mean, this is like a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
Not necessarily about one being more mobile, but maybe with their grit, competitiveness, the way they read defenses, that kind of stuff. How do you compare them?
They're both the same. You just hit them. I mean, all those qualities you'd want in a quarterback, right? And a guy that finds a way to win. Both these guys do that. I don't think anything bothers either one of these quarterbacks. I really don't. I mean, you can say, I mean, listen, defensive football, you say hit the quarterback, hit the quarterback, hit the quarterback, and eventually, you know, they get happy feet or, you know, the ball. These two guys don't do that. They just line up and play the next play. That's the most amazing thing to me about both the quarterbacks.
Coach, Chris Jones, he acknowledged that he hadn't. You know,
can you say it again, sir?
Chris Jones doesn't have a playoff sack. You know, and that guy brought it. You know, it's such,
yeah.
It's obviously somewhat a statistical anomaly, right?
Yeah.
It's so good for so long, but he acknowledged it last week going into the Jacksonville game. Do you notice it? Is it a thing? Does he push?
I was surprised when you just said that. It kind of shocked me. Now, I do remember, like we were talking about here, there was a couple, and he has recognized it last year that we missed a couple. He's aware of it. Now, I will say this. Even when Chris is not getting sacks, you know he's helping, a middle push or making the quarterback step up somebody. But we need, when he does that, we need somebody else to finish him off.
The last game against them, there were several times.
All right, we'll try to get the feedback for Steve Spagnuolo and Chris Jones, the one sack. Oh, it's back.
You can't really practice tackling now. But I was this morning talking about in our practices here against the scout team, making sure that we're challenging completions, or be at the confrontational point. You know, and let's just not let scout team guys catch it and tag off. I mean, we want to be a little bit more aggressive in that because of who we're playing and to the point you're making.
Following this Brady comparison with Burrow, but like the similarity that I see kind of is how they just methodically take what's there.
Yeah.
They're always in control. You can't rattle them. How do you keep your guys disciplined in that sense, right, when it keeps happening and that they don't take an unnecessary risk and play something out of position?
the word, James, you just said about the discipline is the first thing. And I think more than anything, when you're facing a quarterback like this, it's your eyes. It's when the eyes get undisciplined, in my opinion, that we end up having a problem. If guys play with good eyes and challenge, like we're talking about, and our D-line can give them a little bit of pressure and make them move around, then we have better downs. Now, can you do that every down or win every down against this guy? You're not going to do that. And so when you were talking about the methodical, you know, we've talked a lot about let's make sure we don't give explosive plays, because we know what that looks like. That was up there 2 years ago, right? And if they do that, let's just keep lining up, play the next play, hoping that the next play will be one that will turn it around for us. And that's what you got to do. And, you know, we got to be able to play better in the red zone, or it's going to be really hard.
Coach, you mentioned that game a couple of years ago when they just won. You had coverage and they just
won
the ball. Do you feel like you guys are better positioned, better talent to be able to handle them?
Well, I'm not going to go that far, because I'd be insulting the guys that we had before, and I love those guys that we had. I mean, our young guys are growing. Hopefully we've grown enough that we can match what they're going to put out there. This is an elite group we're going against. We've got to have an elite game. We've got to play our best game of the year for our team to have a chance. But we're excited about the challenge. I mean, there isn't one guy in there in the defensive locker room that isn't excited to do it. And we have played them before, so we know them a little bit. And we certainly know what they're capable of. And again, I go back to they're so explosive. And when you let them get those 1, 2, 3 explosive plays that turn into touchdowns, it makes for a long day. And I think that's where the discipline eyes come in. We good? All right, thanks. Yeah.
All right, it's going to be difficult, obviously, against an elite offense that you've got to come up and tackle, because they're going to take what's given to you, but disciplinized to not get beat by overreacting, and now you're burned. I mean, we saw that with the Ravens and Bengals with Eli Apple and DeMarcus Robinson. Everything was underneath. Eli Apple came up underneath, double move, beat deep. DeMarcus Robinson burned him. He wasn't disciplined. Shocker. So the Chiefs obviously have to play a phenomenal game on defense. Phenomenal game. Here's Eric Bieniemy.
One is just Darius Toney. How much could you describe the unique skills he seems to have in terms of his ability to move? And I have a follow-up.
The kid is a very talented young man. But first of all, hope all is well. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope all is well with everyone. It's an honor and a privilege to be here for the fifth straight year. Says a lot about this organization. Says a lot about our leadership. we got a big one this week. But let me answer that question real quick. I had to pause real quick. KT is doing a heck of a job. He's a very talented player. On top of that, he works at it.
We'll hear Eric Bieniemy talking about Kadarius Toney.
How to get the opening statement out there first?
That's right. Excited to be
pump
here.
Pump the brakes, Vahe.
That's right. Hold on, Vahe. I gotta let everybody know. He's going to be all ears. Eric Bieniemy still got to be all ears.
Been here 5 AFC Championship games in a row. No one wants me to be their head coach. Kind of weird. What?
That's right. Hoping to get Eric Bieniemy back. Here he is.
Multiple things he can do. I know you've said that, but I wonder if you can elaborate on that more.
Well, I mean, he just brings a different dimension. Obviously, he's a talented, skillful receiver. Obviously, you've seen him do a number of things. He's ran the ball. He's had a few catches down here all over the field. On top of that, he's made some plays in the red zone where he's gotten it in the end zone. The thing that I like about him is that the kid is just a football player who happens to play the receiver position. And if you ask him to go block, guess what? He'll go and do it for 60 consecutive minutes if you ask him to. That's just the type of kid he is, and that's the attitude and mindset and his approach to every day.
Try to get Eric Bieniemy back here just a little bit. Apparently there's some issues with some interwebs maybe out there. All right, we're back in.
Competitive player. It's the intestinal fortitude that's in him. He just refuses to accept that he's not going to put himself out there to be with his teammates. You love that about him. You know, last week was a unique situation and difficult in a lot of ways, because obviously you always want to make sure that the player is okay. But more importantly, you also know that he can give you the best chance of winning. But I'll say this, the kid is an outstanding kid, and I've said this before. He was raised the right way. His parents have done an outstanding job. The thing that I appreciate about him is just his competitive nature, his will to be the best whenever he can prove that, but also, too, just being the best teammate and being there for his teammates and being accountable every single day.
What do you think is the biggest reason that he's
I mean, he's still working through it, and the thing that I have no idea, but I want whatever he's taking.
Yeah, so. How difficult has it been to kind of project a little bit how mobile he is
right now? Well, it's tough, but here's the thing. I mean, obviously, it's.
We'll catch up with Eric Bieniemy when we get reconnected out there. Want to just call in and hold a phone up there? It'd be awesome.
I'm gonna put himself in position to go out there and play. But we also know Chad has done an outstanding job as well. So we'll be okay.
Last one, Eric.
Eric, when you look at Cincinnati's defense the last three times you faced them, is it something where you look at it where it's just self-imposed mistakes that you've made, but we're operating at a good level? These 10 to 12 quarters you played, and you have played at a good level. Or is it something where it's just like the finishing touch or something on defense that disguised that you just keep thrown off by? What is it about them that you just haven't been able to put that finishing touch?
It's two good football teams that are going against each other. At the end of the day, the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, that's the team that comes away with a victory. So for the past three times that we played them, obviously, we've made the mistakes. They've capitalized on them. We got to sustain drives. We have to finish. We have to protect the football. More than anything, we got to strain to finish. And I know that encompasses a lot, but when you look at it, this defense, these guys do a great job of just finishing. I mean, and it starts up front. You look at those two defensive ends, they get after it. You look at Reeder, they get after it. Those guys are relentless. And so if you want to beat this team, you have got to out-effort them. Okay? You got to out-strain them. You got to be willing to play to the echo of the last whistle. So that's the type of game this is going to be. Put your hand in the dirt, knuckle up, 60-minute dogfight. And then after that, if we have to go additional minutes, hey, drink some water, get your Kool-Aid. Hey, we got to go do it. We got to go fight. Okay? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Strain to finish. Hand in the dirt, knuckle up, 60-minute ball game. Or maybe 65. We know McKinnon is in the room, so we expect Eric McKinnon to be pretty quickly after Eric Bieniemy here. And then L'Jarius Sneed and McKinnon right now.
All right, guys. Eric, I know you take a lot of pride in helping pass protect. When you watch the Bengals play, they send a lot of different people, a lot of different ways. How difficult do they make it to find out who's coming and who's not?
Well, they do a really good job at disguising, you know, bringing guys from depth and, you know, unusual looks, and then you know, they do a good job of mixing it up, like you said. You know, whether it's you know, bringing the guy off the edge, you know, a stunt in the middle, or you know, a safety from the top, you know, however it comes, you know, they do a good job. So we know we got our hands full, and it's gonna be a good game.
Sure, you've become an important guy for Pat, getting his trust in the short game, the check down, the screen game. How much more elevated is that sometimes when the quarterback might be ailing a little bit?
I mean, for me, it's gonna be the same thing. You know, if he needs me, just be there and be available. You know, have his back in pass protection, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, keep him clean in the pocket.
Sure. Where's your emotion right now? Because you had a lot of trials and tribulations throughout your career, and now you're set records, regular season as a running back, and an integral part of the team that's playing in the Super Bowl. You sit back and think about that right now, or is that for later?
It's probably for later. I'm probably, like, right here right now, like a happy medium. I mean, there's so much, you know, going on just like with game plan and stuff like that throughout the week that, you know, I guess I really haven't just, you know, sat back and really thought about it. But, you know, when it's all said and done and I finally do, I'm pretty sure it'll probably hit me in a whole nother way. So I'll deal with that when that time comes. But, you know, for now, strictly Cincinnati for me.
Jared, you guys love your quarterback. But when you saw the grit he had coming back into that game last week, and you see that he is doing everything he can to be at full bore for this one, what do you think that does? Does that inspire the team? Does that make you guys just want, I mean, love him even more? I know you all think the world of him, but what does that performance do for you?
It definitely inspires, you know, just, you know, that being a playoff game, you know, a win or go home type situation. And, you know, seeing him, you know, grimace and go down and know that he was in, you know, I guess significant pain, and watching him play through that and, you know, still doing what he does, man, completing passes. There was even one time where he scrambled, but he was hopping, and you still got yards. So, you know, when you see a guy like that, and everybody knows Pat, knows his character, knows his work ethic, he's going to give you everything he has. And, you know, when you see something like that, it does nothing but inspire you. You know, everybody on the sideline, everybody in the organization. And, you know, we all know what he brings to this team. And that right there was just another moment for him doing what he does and proving, you know, why he's Pat.
Jerry, what you do in pass protection, what's your biggest concern or I guess, focus heading into Sunday in terms of what they do defensively that you need to be most aware of?
Just staying on top of my keys, you know, knowing what protections is called, you know, the possible scenarios that can work out, mic points, you know, just getting together with the O-line and, you know, talking through things, maybe some unscouted looks they might present, you know, in situations like that, and just making sure everybody's on the same page and, you know, doing whatever it takes to keep Pat, like I said, clean in the pocket, give those guys on the outside opportunity to make plays.
Jared, what is your, seems to be passion for blocking, coming from, and I wonder, what do you think the keys are to being good at that in your position?
Passion? I got little man syndrome. Yeah, I got a little man syndrome, so I don't know, maybe that's what it is. And then, you know, like I was saying to somebody earlier, it was something that I'd never done in college. So, you know, obviously coming to the league, it being new, something that I had to work at and accepted the challenge. And, you know, it's got me this far. And, you know, something that's going to keep you around as a running back in this league. So, you know, I take, you know, big pride in that area, more than running and catching the ball for real. So, yeah.
And what's the key to doing it well?
You just gotta have will. That's all. You know, it's all heart and will. That's all it is. You know, you got technique and stuff like that to clean it up. But at the end of the day, it's 101. So you just gotta have the will for it.
Jared, on that front, you say it's a will, this technique and all that. Obviously, there. But a lot of guys that maybe can get the job done and they kind of get great training. It's not a natural act to stand in front of a guy who's 240 running full speed and you don't get a speed on. You seem to be able to deliver a blow, right? Like, not just, you don't just absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
Not Zeke Elliott, get great training off the snap, right? Like, you punch back.
Yeah.
Like, how? Like, did you, is that something that's that innate? Is that an ability you have within yourself?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like, I'm not gonna lie, you know, there's some big guys coming full speed. You gotta be a little crooked in the mind for sure. So, it's what makes the game fun. You know, me and O-line, you know, we always talk about it, they always joke about it. But I mean, it's all aspects of the game for me that makes it enjoyable, whether it's running, catching, or not having the ball, blocking downfield, whatever I can do to help the team be better and successful.
What were one of the tips you gave Isaiah Pacheco before his first pro season start, and what do you feel like he translated well?
You know, my big thing for him was just be yourself. You know, making that transition from college to pros, and, you know, you have everything that you dreamed of, you know, right there in front of you. It's kind of sometimes easy to kind of get out of your body a little bit, and then you kind of got to refocus. So just, you know, just making sure he stayed focused and was himself. And, you know, ever since, you know, I met him, I had high praise for him, just the way he worked, tremendous talent he has. And, I mean, everybody's seen it from the beginning of the season to now. He's had an excellent rookie season, and, you know, it's only going to get better for him.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right, there's Jared McKinnon. We'll hear from L'Jarius Sneed. He has little man syndrome, and he's a little crooked in the mind.
Got to be a little crooked in the mind for sure.
Passion? I got little man syndrome. I enjoy the pass protection more than running and catching. It's a will. Got to be a little crooked in the mind.
So good, man.
Well,
he and Pacheco, 1-2 punch on the press conferences too, man.
Yeah. Here's L'Jarius Sneed.
What's up? It's okay.
Third time you faced this people receiving or what did you learn? What, how much information have you gathered to finally try to make it work in the long run?
You know, they're a great group, all of them. You know, they're pretty cool, pretty good, you know, but me and my guys, we're going to handle them pretty well.
LJ, Coach was just up your specs talking about finishing the job. That with this team, that's more important than ever. So what have you guys really been focusing on to allow you to do that? Because, you know, you can be ahead in the game, it can come down to, you got to finish them off. What have you been working on? How have you been
It haven't been too much of them. You know, we've been focusing on us, on our job, what to do. You know, the games that we lost against them all been like close games. So, you know, it all come down to timing and to the end of the game, play to the end of the game.
My mistake, they do a lot of talking in the last game on the field.
Mm-hmm. But we're not worried about the talking. You know, we humble. We come to play football, put our pads on.
Jarius, one of the things that Andy has said has been so impressive with you, you can go inside, outside, that they can lean on you a little bit more outside. What are the challenges of maintaining that versatility as you go on
here? You know, it's not very challenging, you know. You know, I just tell Coach Prim where you need me. You know, I just execute my job.
Do you like going up against one receiver so you can zone in on them in a particular week? And how does that process go?
Yeah, it's very easy because I can focus on one guy instead of playing on the inside. You know, I got to do this and do that, run game and all, but when I'm studying one guy, I can just study him.
How much of it is the study versus just the physical ability?
It's more so studying. You know, I love studying, and the physical, if I have that, you know, it's going to come.
In that study, other Jamar Chase tells, what he's looking to do?
No.
Are you worried about him, the Cincinnati Bowl championship?
No, I'm not worried about that. You know, we come play football. That's what we're here to do, and try to get to the bowl.
Couple more.
Well, Jake, after, you know, like OTAs and stuff, some of the guys we talked to, I remember talking to Chris, Patrick, and those guys, they were, this last year, this AFC title game, a couple plays here and there, really ate at it for a while. How long did it take for you to put this Bengals game last year away, or is it still, like, with you?
Yeah, it's still with me. You know, I'm guaranteed it's still with a couple more guys as well. You know, we come in with a chip on our shoulder and try to fall short end.
The Bengals do like to move guys around, especially Jamar. You don't put him anywhere on the field. How important is that, you know, pre-snap recognition of realizing where he is and making adjustments based on where he left Jamar?
You know, it's no big diggy. You know, we doing that right now in preparation. We know he's going to be everywhere, line him up inside, also in the backfield. We got things for that.
Last one.
You know, you went through a long season as a rookie. You got some wild rookies back there in the secondary. How much better do you get down that stretch? Like in their last game against the Bengals, it seems like you guys steadily progressed.
You know, them guys after that game, you know, they took it to the heart. You know, Josh, he went in the locker room, you know, had his head down. I wouldn't have told him, don't put your head down. He took it hard to the heart, and I'm guaranteed that them guys are ready.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jeff.
Josh Williams took it hard, head down. He gave up a couple of big plays in that game. He was there on that 3rd-and-11 to T. Higgins, that last play before they took knees. It happens. He's learned from it. Jalen Watson gets a play in this game. So we'll see. L'Jarius Sneed likes to follow the receivers because you can just study and figure out one guy. A lot of studying. Yeah, physical ability helps, but I've got the physical ability, so studying.
I love that. I love the studying. Physical ability will come.
Yes.
Amazing.
All right. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Sports or Leisure coming up at 1 o'clock. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Touch the sausage all you want. Just not the beefcake.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know, they're showing video of Patrick Mahomes at practice from yesterday.
Wow.
I don't know if you've seen this or not, but he's got a yellow jersey on. Also, Jody Fortson's out there, so you know, got that going for you.
Woo-hoo! Biggest injury return in Kansas City. Jody Fort's season might be back.
Everybody's focusing on this number 15 guy, and they're just looking right past the guy with a huge brace on his left arm, as if that's not a big freaking deal. Can the Chiefs go 14 personnel?
I would like to see it. I think you could try to make that work. All of those dudes can catch passes. It would be a weird thing to have to match up against as a defense. You stay light, you run the ball. You see that defense get heavy, you throw it.
So you've got Mahomes and Pacheco, the five offensive linemen. Blake Bell set up like an H-back right off the left tackle or right tackle. And then you got Gray, Fortson, and Kelsey split out wide.
I'm bringing them in tight.
You're bringing them all in a tight formation?
We are condensing this mother bleeper. We are getting Army-Navy with it.
Oh, wow. And so then, you and want then, Mahomes to run the option then?
Yeah, specifically in this game, I'd like for him to run the option. A lot of quarterback sneaks. No, I'm saying I think you get real Army-Navy with it, and then all of a sudden you've got Travis Kelce and Noah Gray running 25-yard routes down the middle of the field. Uh-oh, cheerio. Touchdown Chiefs.
That's right. So we listened to the press conferences, and obviously a lot of focus on Patrick Mahomes and his ankle and coming back in the game and what that does for the team and inspiration and things like that. L'Jarius Sneed talked. Steve Spagnuolo talked. He was asked about, you know, the defense and guys traveling and the game plan. If brother texts me, he's like, why ask about the game plan? Like, what? I'm like, I agree.
Sometimes you just hope we'll give you a little.
Yeah, we're gonna put L'Jarius Sneed on Hayden Hurst or Higbee, one of the two. We're gonna shut that guy down, lock them all up. But you know, L'Jarius Sneed traveling. You know, I've got an opinion on this, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, Josh, but I think if L'Jarius Sneed stays with a receiver and travels, I think it'd be T. Higgins and not Ja'Marr Chase. You agree?
Jason, that's a brilliant take that you have that we definitely didn't discuss at all in the break, where we kind of found out that we both independently came to that same conclusion.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I just led you to that saying, I said it first, therefore if you say it, you must then agree with me.
That's right.
Based on my initial take.
No, the fact that you got to that completely on your own and then opened my eyes to that possibility, I really found fascinating.
No, but we both said that in the break, like, if he's going to travel, it's going to be with T. Higgins and not Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I feel like that's going to be much more, because the amount of times that the other corner was on Ja'Marr Chase, like Josh Williams or Trent McDuffie and things like that, and they weren't even traveling with Sneed. But yeah, we both think it would be T. Higgins that you would travel with if it's L'Jarius Sneed and not Ja'Marr Chase.
Higgins is 6'4", Chase is 6 foot, which I know is insane. I have to look that up every time because I think there's no way Ja'Marr Chase is an inch under 6'50". Like, that dude's an alien, but it's true. DK Metcalf, 6'4". And then initially, the first game where Sneed was supposed to start traveling a little bit was against the Chargers in that game where Mike Williams got hurt early on. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to follow Keenan Allen, who you might consider the number one receiver. He was going to follow the bigger guy, being Mike Williams. So hearing Sneed talk about like just studying one guy and how that makes things a little easier, first of all, puts his performance against the Chargers that week probably in even more, but even higher regard, because the guy he was studying for didn't end up playing very much. But if he can just be the guy that eliminates T. Higgins, a matchup that I actually think there's a chance of that happening.
Limits
T. Higgins would be fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think there's a chance that he could do that in winning that matchup, and now you have a little help for a Trent McDuffie, for a Jalen Watson, whenever it does come to handling Ja'Marr Chase and the rest of that pass-catching group.
But what's so interesting about, you know, and Spagnuolo talked about it with what the defense was doing. Was it Spags that said that? It might have been Andy Reid, I don't know. That said that they were destroying wasn't the right word, but the middle of the field is what they dominated with.
Yep.
Down the middle of the field, put guys in tough positions, that it was between the numbers, and Matt Verderam and I talked about it in the 11 o'clock hour. But so while you can put some guys on the outside, what destroyed the Chiefs in December was between the hashes, just outside the hashes, but between the numbers with safeties and linebackers, they just ate all day against the Chiefs.
If they can't limit that, the rest of this might not matter nearly as much as we'd like for it to.
It was Andy Reid. He was asked about Juan Thornhill and Justin Reid, and he said they'll try to stress the middle. The Bengals, they'll try to stress the middle. And they did that. They stressed the middle a lot.
They stressed the middle of Chiefs fans. Stomach, region, stressed.
That's right.
My middle.
First drive, it was the Tyler Boyd down the middle to the 3-yard line. Second drive was the Hayden Hurst right down the middle to like the 4-yard line. A couple touchdowns. It's what they were doing most of the game. Outside, not all that effective. Inside, it was the greatest offense you've ever seen.